back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
You say you stand by your man.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Thursday afternoon. And we've got to talk Tigers. It's been a very busy day around Tiger Athletics. And joining us like he does every single week to discuss it, we talk to Greg Gaston.
From the Tigers sideline, it's Tigers Talk with Memphis broadcasting legend Greg Gaston. Hear Greg weekday mornings on Sports 56 Mornings along with Eli Savoy from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. On Twitter X at Greg_Gaston. Here's Greg with Bryant and Brett.
Greg Gaston joins us now to talk Tigers. And, Greg, there's a lot to discuss, plenty to discuss. Just that happened today. So I guess we'll start in chronological order today. Earlier this morning, it was announced that Memphis will wear FedEx patches on their uniforms for all 19 men's and women's programs starting on August 1st. What did you make of that news? We know the strong relationship between FedEx and Memphis, but now that that's legal, very quickly, Memphis and FedEx jumped out there to make sure once it's able to happen, they're going to have it happen.
Yeah, one of the first in the entire country, but I thought that was a no-brainer. That was going to happen once they allowed that. FedEx, obviously, a huge part of what this city's about and what this university is about. To have that revenue stream coming from FedEx continually is so important to the athletic department. So, again, not surprised. It looks real good. I saw the video with D'Angelo Williams narrating, and I think that that patch on the jerseys of all the sports teams is going to look terrific. Mm-hmm.
That video was well done, and the stadium really is coming together. You'll see it up close Saturday, won't you?
I will be there for, a week from Saturday. And I've been over there, Brett, and it's really getting there. It's looking good. They're right on target. It's going to be no delays. I just can't wait till it's finished. So I'm excited about looking at it as it progresses, but I'm really going to be looking forward to it when it's finally completed.
Yeah, I jumped a week ahead of time, Saturday the 18th.
Yeah, I messed that up earlier, and I meant to correct that earlier on the 18th, so next Saturday, not this Saturday.
Right, I'm not going to blame it on you. It was my fault.
No, well, but I said it earlier, so I was the first one to say it on the show, so I have to take blame. But speaking of that, and before we get to the other news today, FanFest in a week, it's going to be interesting how they're doing it this year, because from everything that's been put out about it, it sounds like it's not going to be anything like anything we've seen in terms of kind of a scrimmage. This is going to be a look of they're going to go out there and just have practice, and fans are going to be able to watch it. What do you make of this change and what we'll be able to see on the 18th?
Yeah, it's interesting because when Ryan Silverfield was running the show, at first they had a modified version of a game, and then it went more to a game, although, again, it's never really a game. You see a little bit, a couple of periods, and then they end up having – different drills and special teams things, and always have the fans involved and invested in this type of an event. I don't know. As far as the practice is concerned, that's going to be really interesting, but it's going to show you exactly what makes Charles Huff tick with his team, what he does in practices. So it's a different look at the Tigers, but of course this will be the first look at the Tigers for these fans. Those who have had the privilege of maybe being able to come over as a member of the Highland Hundreds team in practice, that's different. But for the most part, the bulk of these people will be seeing this team for the very first time. So an interesting look to have it be a practice. But again, whether it's a practice, whether it's a glorified exhibition game, scrimmage game, whatever the case is, the fact of the matter is you get your fan base involved with new players, get used to new numbers, new names, and a new coaching staff. And I think it'll be a lot of fun for the folks.
Greg, and that's just the way that all these games are going, the old-fashioned, the winner eats steak and the loser eats hot dogs. That's done. They're all eating steak now. And
right.
Are they transferring play against you come September? So that's the way it's going. And I think you'll even see more of these OTAs, more of these practices, and places will be able to monetize it that might offend some at first, But hey, how about a June? You know, for people that are dying for college football, how about a June practice that's open and the price of admission goes to the NIL fund?
Look, who knows what's to come? And you're absolutely right. And I don't think people would be upset because they understand the importance of having different revenue streams. They know it's an arms race. So if there's things going on in the off season that they're allowed to do by rule and they want to do and can also interact with the fan base and make them more excited, as opposed to you get a spring session, whether it be a spring game or a spring practice, as in this case, and then you don't see the guys until August camp, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you wonder who's buying tickets. Are fans dialed in for the football season? Well, if you have something maybe in the middle of the summer or sometime early in camp, whatever the case may be, I think the more they're engaged, the more they're excited about watching the product. So, and the fact, like I said, with the arms race going on, Brett, it makes a lot of sense that maybe they'll do something again within the rules and regulations of what they're allowed to do in the off season. But I think that's a possibility.
And the more they allow to the media to tell these new player stories and this new coaching staff, their story and their background, and you get some familiarity about them, regardless of sport, football or basketball or baseball, any of the sports, then you do that, then it's less of a desire to fill in the blanks by the media. Because if they don't know, they still have to write something about it, but to know and to have access makes the far better product.
Well, you hit it on the head right there. The unfortunate thing is I think we're going more away instead of coming closer to allowing media that opportunity to go in there and tell these stories. I think most programs around the country are a lot more guided, whether it be paranoia, whatever the case. I'm not saying that will be this way with Charles Huff and the University of Memphis, but I know the access right now is not that great. And I don't know what it will be during the season, but you're absolutely right. The more chances that the media has to tell stories, the more that people can attach themselves to these players, these great stories, what they can look forward to during the season, and be more in tune with what these guys are all about, as opposed to just you see them on a Saturday for the game and that's it. You want to learn more about them. And the way you've always been able to do that is through, one, media stories, but two, also personal appearances, things of that nature, whether it be autograph sessions, autograph signing sessions. They need to do more of that. I know the coaches are now, especially the University of Memphis, going to be more involved in community, getting out there, selling the product and their specific product, their team. I think there'll be more of that. But it would also be nice to see, especially in this era of NIL, the players out there more accessible in the community. But again, I agree with you 100% as far as the media being allowed to tell those stories. We would love to have players and assistant coaches and coordinators on our shows all the time to tell that story. It's just, I don't think it's ever going to go back to that where it once was, when practices were always open for the full practice for media.
I can tell you a story at Ole Miss. I'll name the player, Quinshon Judkins. He turned down coming on with us after a post game. It was his last year there, and NIL was big, and he said no. And somebody close to him said, no, you need to go do that and not have your hand out for everything, because when you get to the pros, for people that you might be advertising a shoe or something, and for people to get to know you, you're going to have to talk to the media.
Absolutely, Brett. That's 100%. Did he end up getting talked into it or not?
He did. He later came back and after the Egg Bowl and on the air apologized for turning us down earlier in the year.
Yeah, and that's the scary. Well, one of the scary parts, obviously, of the world of NIL is that, as you said it, and you're exactly right, there will be some athletes that are only going to do that if their palm is greased. And that's not the way to do it. Certainly you want to be paid for your hard work, your blood, sweat, and tears, but you certainly have to be able to be willing to do things out there just to connect again with the fan base, that they know, hey, man, he's a good guy. Look at this guy going out there and doing this. And And so far with the guys I've seen that I've interacted with after games on the sidelines for Tigers and things of that nature, post-game for basketball, I don't think we've ever been turned down. So I think for the most part, they look at it as a privilege to be able to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Greg, I know the hottest position with this football team right now is the quarterback position. Everybody curious who's going to emerge. Always is. And certainly this offseason, when you know you're going to have a new face back there. But outside of the quarterback position, what position group have you been most intrigued with this spring, kind of looking forward to seeing what they'll bring to the field?
I'm intrigued by the receivers because all the emphasis was, since Charles Huff got here, was speed. Mm-hmm. Speed, 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 speed. So they went out and they got some burners. So that's the one that intrigues me the most. I want to know who steps up. There's not a lot back from last year. There's a couple of receivers. Brady Kluse is a guy that's back, who is more of a bigger possession receiver, very good receiver, but not the speed merchants that they brought in. So I want to see that. I'm certainly entrenched in what's going on with that. I'm also, now I've had a chance to go over to a few of these practices, and I'm really impressed so far with that defensive front. Remember, they're going to that four-man front, as you know, and to have some of the quality athletes that they have on the defensive line, that's going to dictate a lot. So that would be that. I'm not as intrigued. I'm more intrigued with the receivers because I'm not sure who's going to step up and be the guys. But on defense, on that defensive line, I think they're pretty deep, and I think they're going to be very formidable. So those are two areas I'm looking at very carefully.
For the big catch, for Kluse's great catch last year, where were you, Greg? Were you in that end zone, or were you near it?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
It was right at your feet?
Well, not quite at my feet, but it was close. It was close, Brett. It was so acrobatic, and he had one that was wasn't as good as the one we're referring to. But my gosh, that was a great catch. But he had another one. He's got really good hands.
Yes, he does.
And the fact of the matter that he's back, I think, is very positive, because I know, again, they want to get a lot of the receivers. I don't know them that well. I'll learn about them as time goes on. But to have a receiver that is almost Blitnikoff-esque with this stick'em, even though he doesn't use the stick'em, his hands are that good. You want to have those type of receivers. So, yeah, I like Kluse. I think getting him back was big.
No, I think really, really big. We're talking Tigers with Greg Gastney. He joins us every single Thursday to talk Tigers. And it's brought to you every week by Mercedes-Benz Van Center Memphis. They have serious vans for serious work at 4430 American Way. They're the Mid-South source for cargo, passenger, crew vans, and custom chassis. Need one or a full fleet? New or used? Well, they've got it with fleet solutions and custom upfits. Certified techs keep you moving with fast maintenance, repairs, and a large parts inventory. Mercedes-Benz Van Center is your Sprinter van headquarters. Give them a call, 901-237-9302, or online at sprintervans.com. Mercedes-Benz Van Center Memphis, part of the Tag Truck Center family, driven to keep you on the road. Well, we talked about the big news this morning. The big news this afternoon, Penny Hardaway has landed the commitment of four-star local product Fred Smith Jr. He made that announcement a little after 2:30 over at Briarcrest. It's a guy that a lot of people assumed and have thought for a while would end up at Memphis, but now actually seeing him commit to Penny Hardaway and this program, what do you make of him as a player and this addition?
I think it's huge. I think it's absolutely huge. Now, I'm not going to sit here and go, Fred's going to come in, he's going to be the best player in the country. Fred is going to be a very, very good player because he's a matchup nightmare for teams. He's strong. He's got a great wingspan and obviously productive. Two-time Mr. Basketball in the state of Tennessee, two-time state champion at Briarcrest. The fact that Kenny has gone the high school route back to his old stomping grounds, if you will, to bring in Fred Smith and Cello Jackson, a nice tandem that you hope you can build on and keep for several years. And who knows in this age of the transfer portal. But, guys, I think that was so big because I started to wonder whether or not he would follow through. That was the rumor, certainly, that it was going to be Memphis. And then it started to wane a little bit. Mm-hmm. As time went by, I wondered who else was stepping up. But to be able to know that this was going to happen, I think is fantastic. A local guy who wants to play for the local team. Doesn't hurt to have the name Fred Smith, a name synonymous with the city of Memphis, right? That's absolutely perfect. And by the way, a shameless plug, he will be on mornings tomorrow at 9:30.
Oh, great.
Looking forward to talking with Fred Smith.
That'll be a lot of fun.
And I don't know if you want to ask him this, but I wonder what his price range, and the same for Cello. What does a high school star cost now? Because, you know, we think Estrella was very expensive for Michigan to get him from Tennessee in the last hour or so. And
right.
We know what Mara was last year from UCLA to Michigan. We know with the experienced players. I just wonder what straight from high school to college, how expensive they are.
Yeah, I probably won't ask him that, but I am curious. I am curious too, Brett. I mean, we hear so many different figures for guys, and I don't know what's accurate, what's not accurate.
I write most of it off as inaccurate, Greg, because I know back in the days of the under the table, the funny money, the more drinks they got, the more zeros got added. On what it cost, and I know it was not true then.
Yeah, I'm with you. I tend to lean toward more inaccurate figures, because how many are getting it from the horse's mouth? Do they really, really know? But I don't know. It's a great question.
And why would you tell it?
You probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't. You don't want to give away your poker hand, right? You don't want to give away what you're going for.
Because all that can do is disrupt the locker room.
Right. You do not want to have that. You want to set yourself up for the future, whether it be with your current program or if you're moving on somewhere else. And that's just, I know people hate to hear that, but that's just the way it is. That's the lay of the land. But we were talking about this on, I think yesterday or 2 days ago on our show in the mornings. I would love to be able to pick the brain of somebody who's a general manager or deals with the financial breakdown of a team and what they have to offer and how they figure it out. When you go into the start of recruiting with the portal just opening, how do you come to the conclusion, all right, we're going to go after this guy, it's going to probably be $2 million, but if we go $2 million here, we only got $50,000 for this guy and $500,000 for this guy, you know, depending on what school you're from and how much money you have to play with. I think it's just fascinating to be able to deal with that. I don't think I'll ever find out, but I would love to know the intricacies.
And, Greg, you got to hold back a little cash for everywhere. It's not just it's everywhere for that player that's maybe overproducing of his initial number. He wants a little more something as the year's going along and NCAA tournament time, college football playoff time. You want to guarantee me in the lineup, I need a little more.
Yeah, you may have to hold back, and you also want to make sure that you have enough to fill a roster. If you commit too much and these guys say yes, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, well, we only have we have 8 players and we don't have any more money. We better figure out some money. So, yeah, it's a fascinating thing. But as far as the high school guys, I don't know. I mean, Fred certainly is a top 100 four-star guy. He's not a top 10 guy, but I'm sure he demands it, you know, pretty good change. But he just seemed like a guy who, again, I don't know him personally. I'm looking forward to talking to him for the first time. But just seems like a guy's got his head screwed on straight.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And Greg, for those players that at college football playoff time or NCAA tournament time, I know that this would be offensive to a lot of people out there, but this is the way of the world. This is how it goes down. If I'm that guy and they go, well, we're out, the budget's empty, is the coach broke?
Give me a little from the coach's budget, from his personal one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who knows what they ask for, right? I'm sure there are some incredible asks, from the inner circle, whether it be the agent, whether it be the parents, whoever is the guardian for those players. I guarantee you, because I'm sure there were wild asks even before it was legal when players were putting their hands out for some kind of compensation. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that now it's legal. Hey, look, I want this. Give me a car, too. Mm-hmm. I want that. I mean, who knows what they're asking for now?
Oh, yeah. It's
one of my favorite stories ever. Greg, I know you knew him, know him well. Lou Strasberg, who watched all the money for the University of Memphis, they're in New York and at one of those big December tournaments or MTs something. And according to the story goes that Joey Dorsey had a huge room service bill for food and for fresh squeezed orange juice. They were wherever they were staying, Waldorf, wherever they were staying, and goes to Calipari and says, you know, hey, we got an issue here. He goes, what's the problem? He tells him, and it was like $17, which was outrageous at the time for an 8 ounce fresh squeezed orange juice. And that John told him, he said, let me tell you something. As long as he's getting 17 and 12 a night, keep sending orange juice to him.
Yeah, not a surprise. I was on a lot of those trips, so I know what you're talking about.
Greg, before we let you go, we've talked a lot about Fred Smith, who will be a part of this roster next year, this staff now looking at the transfer portal to fill out the rest of this roster. And while we've seen a lot of interest shown from Memphis on a lot of different guys, I'm curious, are we ever going to hear publicly one way or the other about Aaron Bradshaw? He's the only guy that we've heard nothing about, and still with the transfer portal open for a couple of days already, still no word publicly about what his future holds.
Yeah, we may not hear it from the horse's mouth, but I think we'll certainly hear it from somebody. Somebody will be reporting
Definitely. That
he's officially in the portal or whatever the case may be with him. I can't imagine that the time that has gone by now that he's back in the fold. I know Jason Munns has said several times that what he's hearing is that he probably will not be back. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll probably in the next few days, remember you got the 2 week period, but I would think in the next few days, maybe early next week, you hear that he's officially in the portal. I would think that we'd probably hear something on him, but it is kind of a mystery, isn't it? Everybody else we know, two that are coming back, the rest that are gone, and then one that's just sitting there in limbo now.
It's weird. It definitely
it is.
But we will see what happens over the next couple of days. And who knows, maybe in the next couple of days we start seeing some guys maybe setting up visits or maybe even committing to the program. But, Greg, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
You too, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Gaston.
Thank you, Greg, so much. Thank you so much.
Always fun when he joins us. And again, a reminder, they'll have Fred Smith Jr. on their show tomorrow morning, Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli.
That'd be
I believe
fun.
He said 9:30 a.m. for that interview with Fred Smith Jr. But make sure you catch the whole show from 7 to 10.
And if you miss it, it'll be up at Featured
right.
Audio.
Yeah, so there will be multiple ways to go.
But listen live.
That's right.
That's why we're live and local.
That's right. That's exactly why we're live and local. So definitely, you'll have multiple ways to hear that interview, but I know it's going to be some good stuff and kind of, for a lot of people, their first time hearing from Fred Smith Jr. after his commitment earlier today. Well, we're going to get to a break in a second. Before we do that, let me remind you about our 5 o'clock sponsor. It's Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Jaguar Bluff City has been the premier Jaguar dealership for the greater Memphis area since 1984. Their talented team is ready to help you find your next perfect vehicle at unbeatable rates. Swing by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City today and check out those brand new models like the Range Rover Sport, the Range Rover Velar, and the Defender. Test drive the Range Rover Sport, where luxury meets performance. It's a perfect mix of style, performance, and versatility, with options ranging from 360 horsepower up to 635. It's also available as a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle with $7,500 federal tax credit when leased with approved credit. Take a look at the Range Rover Velar, powered by mild hybrid technology and enhanced with the latest well-being features and fully connected entertainment system. The Range Rover Velar is the ultimate luxury compact crossover. Purchase yours today and get special 4.4% for 72 months financing available with approved credit. Don't forget about the Defender, available in multiple models to fit your needs. The Defender is built for the modern explorer, and Jaguar Bluff City is offering special interest rates for 60 and 72 months on various models. Give them a call, 877-259-6169. Go online to jaguarbluffcity.com. Head out there, test drive these vehicles. 6335 Wheel Cove, just off of Quince, for Bluff City Jaguar. Let's go ahead and grab another break, and when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Back into Sports Time, Bryant and Brett with you as we got a little less than 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending, and really a couple things trending. We got the Masters wrapping up round one. Also, a lot of Tiger news out there today. We talked earlier about the FedEx patch that will be put in place to start August, and also the commitment by Fred Smith Jr. But I want to point this out, a really cool story over at the Commercial Appeal that our friend Jason Munns did. It was posted yesterday, but he went through and looked at all of the transfers that Penny Hardaway has brought in since taking the job and graded everyone as a hit or a miss. Now, he even went even more in detail of the hits and used his baseball terminology and kind of single, double, home run, what kind of hit they were. Went through every single transfer that Memphis has brought in, and when he tallied all of them up, he ended up getting 17 hits, including 4 home runs, 21 misses, and 3 pushes, which puts Penny Hardaway's hit rate, with no penalty for a push, at 44.7%.
Okay, I did not see this. This is fascinating. So how many 4 home runs?
4 home runs.
Kendrick had to be one.
Kendrick was a home run, I believe.
Haggerty had to be one.
Haggerty was a home run. Let's see. DeAndre was a home run. So that's 3 of the home runs.
Who's the 4th home run?
Let's see. David Jones was a double. I love it.
That's some tough scoring there, Jason.
PJ Haggerty is the home run. Tyrese Hunter is a triple. And Dane Danger is the 4th home run. So
And Jason watched every single minute of every single game. I thought Tyrese Hunter was a home run.
Yeah. And said on a team that included big stars, Hunter might have been the most important player, but give him a triple. Hey, Brett, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I watch a triple. I think it's almost more impressive than a home run. I mean,
very exciting play. I agree. Jason's a tough grader.
He
doesn't believe in the Hall of Good, does he?
No, he certainly does not. But yeah, I saw that he had the story up yesterday, and so last night was kind of the first time I was able to take a look at it, and I kind of went through and started reading, and then it kind of took me a couple players to realize he was doing the baseball thing with what type of hit it was, and I was like, oh, this is great. And so
it is great.
Some really good stuff over there. Make sure you go and check it out over at the
Who was the big miss?
There's a lot in here that.
Well, who was the big miss from big expectations? I mean, last year, I don't want to name any names, but there's some you weren't expecting anything from, and you didn't get much from them.
I'd say Quinterly probably.
No doubt
would be the biggest miss. You know, coming from Alabama and being a key part of that Alabama
and to
team,
hit early and have it rolling, and then just really,
That
at SMU, I can never get that out of my head about him when he would not run back on defense.
Yeah, and so I would say I'm trying to scroll through and see all the names here and kind of see if there's anything that tops that. But I would say Quinterly would probably be the biggest miss in terms of guys that Penny's brought
in. I think Bradshaw was a miss.
And he put Bradshaw as a miss as well, and kind of had a lot of them grouped together. A lot of guys on this past year's team that just all were misses, and he lumped them together. Sincere Parker, Aaron Bradshaw, Zach Davis, Theron Osilla, Ashton Hardaway, Curtis Givens III, Quante Berry, Son Abdul-Hakim, and Tariq Ingram.
And it built to a miss year, but now the new year begins.
Yeah, and we'll see what they do, obviously, with William Wharton and Julius Thedford set to come back, the two freshmen that you're bringing in. It sounds like, and we talked about it with Greg Gaston, that soon Aaron Bradshaw will probably make it public that he's entering the transfer portal. And so that gives you 11 spots if you're going to fill all 15. It sounds like, and I know Jason Munns has done some reporting on this, it doesn't feel like Penny Hardaway will use all 15 spots this year, that he'll keep a couple open. So, it's going to be curious. I know, all the big names, we talked about it to start the show, of PJ Haggerty and Rowan Brumball and other guys out there that are certainly, DJ Wagner, some big names out there in the portal that, a lot of people would love to have on this Tiger team. And so, we'll hopefully start to see over the next couple days, over the next week, if they can make up some ground on a couple of those guys and maybe land one of those big fish in the portals.
And I have no problem at all with not having all 15 spots filled. a lot of places are doing that. You got to be careful with it, but a lot of places are doing it for the short-term budget aspect of it and the long-term in traveling people.
Yeah, no, it's a
money's tight everywhere.
It is. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, what they'll ultimately do, you know, and, you know, kind of in addition to that, Penny Hardaway has shown that he, you know, is kind of likes at times if he needs to have that flexibility if he needs to go out there and add a midseason acquisition and add somebody that, you know, maybe didn't get picked up out of the portal. You know, he's already done it twice in his career. Not saying that that's going to be an every year type of thing because that's a very rare instant. But to kind of have that flexibility available with a roster spot open, and you know, maybe before the season starts, we saw it this year with a couple of guys. He had a spot or two open, looked at the roster, said we could really add another you know, body at this position just to give us more depth at, you know, break glass if we needed it, and they, you know, went out and brought in a couple of pieces to kind of fill that role. So, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how he approaches it. There's guys out there that have already, you know, it's been clear that Memphis has shown interest in them. I haven't seen anything. I know, you know, we've heard that P.J. Haggerty has certainly, they've had interest on him. I don't know about Rowan Brumball. We talked about it earlier. I think it will be pretty tough to land Rowan Brumball for Memphis, but, you know, we'll see with P.J. Haggerty. We'll see with D.J. Wagner. Obviously, those two guys have you know, a little deeper relationship history with the program than Rowan Brumball does.
Now, almost after one day, this Masters leaderboard, again, it looks like a great Sunday leaderboard. Why wouldn't this keep up the rest of the weekend? Sam Burns and Rory McIlroy both in at 5-under. Burns, everybody's been waiting for him to win one. And Rory McIlroy going for back-to-back. Kurt Kitayama, Jason Day, Patrick Reed, and Justin Rose all at 3-under. Well, Kitayama hadn't won a major, but Day, Reed, and Rose, they have at 2-under. Lowry, Shoffley, Scheffler, all major winners, very familiar. This is the familiarity leaderboard, isn't it? Brooks Koepka at minus one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of big names, you know, at the top of this leaderboard, and so, you know, I think a lot of people are really happy with the way day one went. But I mean, even some of these guys around the top, I mean, you're seeing them hit some shots that, you know, you can tell right when they hit it that they are not happy about it at all. Scotty had a swing about, you know, 15 or so minutes ago that you could tell when he hit it, he was not happy with it. And then you saw the result and you understood why he wasn't happy with it. So, you know, even some of these guys, you know, in the top 10 through the first day, they're having some trouble with this course. And then, you know, you just go down and see some of these, you know, unexperienced guys at this course and kind of with these conditions really, really struggling to find any sort of success out there.
Right now, 19 under par, and 33 players even are under par. So, golf course has kind of won.
Yeah, no, it has. And, you know, we'll see if that continues over the next 3 days and see kind of what the pin locations and different things look like to, you know, kind of change the way that this course is playing. And if they want to, you know, make it hard, if they want to kind of try to give the players a little bit of an advantage going forward, you know, I think we're in store for some really, really fun golf the next couple of days, especially if we get this leaderboard throughout the weekend.
Jason's Deli wants me to just thank everyone out there last weekend. Truly, record bulk strawberry shortcake came out of Jason's Deli last weekend for a lot of the Easter great lunches and a lot of people in town for the holidays. And, you know, you have the big meal kind of at home, but a lot of people want to go out and get out and go somewhere else either that Friday or Saturday night. And they did last weekend in Jason's Deli. They really realized it. They were closed last Sunday for Easter, but they'll be back open this Sunday, and we'll invite everybody after church to come by, bringing more to the table. It's a family thing at Jason's Deli, whether to dine in, getting it to go, or getting it delivered. Wholesome food forever, that's their mantra, and that's what they deliver. Healthy, first franchise in the nation to be trans fat free. Jason's Deli, all about choice. Whether you seek a gluten-free menu, vegetarian sandwiches, or healthy kids meals, you'll be delighted at Jason's Deli, where you can build your own sandwich. You'll be delighted there with plenty of organic food to choose from as well. Healthy. They were healthy before it was cool. Great salad bar. Over 30 items just from the salad bar in all these locations at Ridgeway Road, at Poplar and Highland, at Olive, in, down in Olive Branch, and out in Cordova. You can prepare it however you would like. If you'd like to order the salads off the menu, well, you can. Like my favorite, the taco salad, or the Mesa chicken salad, the nutty mixed up salad. They've got the great food, and they've got a location near you. I guarantee it. across from MUS at Park Place on Ridgeway, by the University of Memphis at Poplar and Highland, down in Olive Branch, out in Cordova, catering anytime, anywhere, 5 or 5,000, and always in all those locations, the complimentary free ice cream. Check them out online as well at jasonsdeli.com.
The last thing I wanted to bring up before we get to this final break, this story that broke earlier this afternoon about the DOJ opening an antitrust investigation on the NFL over their TV deals. This comes from the ESPN story. It says the Justice Department has begun an investigation into whether the NFL has violated anti-competitive practices with its television contracts that require customers to pay subscription costs to watch some games, sources confirmed to
get them, DOJ,
News.
Get them.
That is a wild headline to see on the front page of ESPN.
And the NFL, they don't want to be burdened with this. Watch a lot of the streaming, get a lot more reasonable.
Yeah, no, and that's the big question, because it is, and I've seen people.
All these stadiums have been built with public money, and then you're going to do people like that.
Yeah, one, and it's, there are real, back and forth about it and disagreements and arguments about kind of what side people fall on, because, the subscriptions, the amount of money that they're asking people to pay to watch these games is insane.
What was that number last year to get everything? What would you have had to have spent?
I don't know the exact
number.
Wasn't
it like $1,600?
It was certainly over $1,000. I know that for sure. I know it's always posted out there. I try not to look at it because sometimes I can't stomach the amount. But also, I do understand the other side of the argument of, when have you ever been able
Nothing's
to
free.
Exactly? When have you ever been able to just watch every single game for free? It's out there to if you want
to
buy it.
I guess we did with the antenna.
I guess so, but was that every game? Did were
you?
But able
you had to buy the antenna.
Game? Sure, but it costs something to get these games, and I get it. You've got to pay, but if we could get a little more reasonable, I would love that because
and it's crazy. You're right. The real argument on one side is nothing's free. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so, maybe we can find some middle ground where it's still going to cost you something, but it isn't going to cost you an arm and a leg, almost quite literally, to watch these games, because it is, the king of sports. It's the shield. It's bigger than everything else. And so for a while, they've been able to just say, this is our prize. You're either going to buy it or you're not going to buy it. And so
we move on without you.
That's right. And so it is interesting to see the Justice Department kind of step in and maybe take a closer look at what's going on. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day. And when we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Fanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is Geraldo. It is crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye!
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com, it's your go-to for all your taco Crunch Time emergencies. Well, what I learned today from Fred Smith's company to Fred Smith the recruit, it was a good day for the University of Memphis and their athletic programs. And this morning, we got the news that FedEx, they strengthened their relationship with Memphis, and every time, starting in August, that a Memphis team takes the field, takes the court, plays in competition, there will be a FedEx patch on that uniform. All 19 men's and women's teams will have that FedEx patch again starting in August, which will be a lot of fun to see. And then this afternoon, we learned that Fred Smith Jr., the Briarcrest star who has won two state championships back-to-back, Mr. Basketball in the state of Tennessee, he committed to the University of Memphis, a four-star prospect ranked number 88 in the country. Now the big question is, what will his role be as a freshman? And I really don't know. I tried to go back and look over the last 5 years, the player ranked number 88 in the country. What did they do for their team? Well, not much. But the big but there is all five of the previous number 88 players in the country went to high major programs. They were four-star. They went to big schools where they had a lot of guys playing in front of him. The one thing I know about Fred Smith Jr. is there are going to be a lot of fans wanting to see him out there on the court. Maybe we see him early. Maybe he is a vital part of next year's basketball team.
What was Cello Jackson's rank?
Cello was a little lower. I think he was in the 100s. I'm not sure off the top of my head what his
and
rank
we know
is.
That can get nebulous.
Sure.
You know,
no, it definitely not, can.
88 could be 28, sure. Or it could be 148.
I mean, you know, Keem Wagler, who is going to be a lottery pick, he was like 130th in the class. So
Carl Scherenfein.
Yeah, well, that's another one. Yes, that's the good and the bad of it.
I think he was 132 right in there with Wagler.
That's right. Yeah, they're right there neck and neck. Wow. Two very different careers after.
I learned today that I loved hearing the voice of Chris Schenkel, the old Hoosier, my first voice of college football, and he forever was the voice of did the narration of every one of the Masters kind of highlight reels from the year before. And in the 70s, he had such esteem for Coach Frank Broyles, the Razorbacks announcer got killed during the season in the 70s in an automobile accident. Chris Schenkel would fly into Little Rock every Sunday and host the Frank Broyles Show.
Wow. Holy cow.
For the rest of that year.
Wow, that is incredible. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, what I could have done without today, Brett, and this really isn't like something bad. Like, I know usually we kind of talk about negative things with what I could have done without. It's really negative, I guess, if you're a New York Mets fan, but this one I should have used as my big number if I didn't have another big number in place. I learned earlier today this very important fact about Connor Griffin's 9-year contract with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
$140 million.
$140 million, that's a lot of money. Do you know the year that that runs out? He signed through what year? Do you know that off the top of your head? You shouldn't know. I mean, I guess, you know, math, but I'm not quick at math. 2034. Bobby Bonilla is signed through 2035. The Mets will still be paying Bobby Bonilla after Connor Griffin, who just signed a 9-year deal, will be paid by the Pittsburgh Pirates. That is just crazy.
Bobby Bonilla gets a check for the rest of time.
He really does.
I could have done without this. The Cardinals 7-5 with everyone but me not thinking much of this team. Everybody's saying they're going to finish last in the National League Central. They're doing this without a single former All-Star on the team. They're one of only three teams in baseball.
Crazy.
No, they're the only team. The Rockies and the White Sox have one. The Cardinals, they don't have an all-star, and they don't have any player from the 2010s.
Wow, that is crazy stuff. Where are you beaming tonight?
Augusta National, 36-hole cut tomorrow. Top 50 in ties, no 10-stroke rule. That went out in 2020.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun at the Masters. But beam me tonight to this game we talked about earlier, Celtics and Knicks on Prime. Should be a big one, important for both of those teams. But that is one of two games on Prime tonight, the later one, Lakers and Warriors. So it's going to be fun with the basketball, but everybody's going to be talking about the Masters.
Live from the Masters, a lot to go over. And in New York, in Queens, the baseball, Arizona and the Mets, right, and in Madison Square Garden, the Celtics and the Knicks.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun tonight with the baseball, with the basketball, with the Masters. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.